as I've shared with you in the past, if God gives you something while you're praying, write it down then, especially, particularly, if you are getting on up in years. We don't like getting on up in years, but you're getting on up in years, and you know you can't remember like you used to. And so therefore, quickly write it down. And sadly today, we have some young people who should be remembering a whole lot, but they don't. And so you need to write it down too. Because those ideas that God gives you during prayer, those things he tells you during prayer, can be life-changing and life-altering. Be that as it may, Dr. Billy Graham, who is now home with the Lord, and I had the privilege of being at his homegoing, an honor that I did not deserve, but I am thankful to God for. And Dr. Billy Graham said, "I've been praying that we might have a spiritual awakening. But I think that becomes possible as individuals surrender their lives fresh and anew to Christ." And he is right about that. Join me in reciting or reading the new Nicene Creed. Made new by moi. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. Now that's a God I think you better learn how to serve. If he's the maker of all things visible and invisible, I think you better get to know him. Because he is an awesome God. By the way, let's sing "Awesome God" at the end of this service and devotion. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father, before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made human. We're talking about the Jesus man, the God man. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered. May I add, he bled. Make sure you add that. And died and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen. That's what we believe. And if you don't believe it yet, I pray that you would trust Christ as Savior so that it will be easy for you to believe it as well. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. As we continue with the family verses, we dealt with the wife, we dealt with the husband, and now we're dealing with the children. The Bible reads in verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth." And as I said yesterday, there's no age limit to this. All children ought to obey their parents and honor them. However, in America, you don't have to once you get a certain age. But just make sure that you have your own place to stay and you're taking care of yourself. But as long as you're living in that parent's household, you have to abide by their rules. Amen, somebody. And even if you're not living outside, not living in the parent's household, you ought to seek your parent's advice before you make certain moves. And you ought to take heed to their advice, particularly if they are in the Lord. God will bless you for doing that. And whatever the situation is, you ought to always respect them and honor them and thank them for the good that they did do to help you get to where you are. I wrote a letter. My parents were not necessarily good parents. We came from a very dysfunctional home. But I have given credit to my parents down through the years, in personal letters and publicly. I've been honest, but the good that they did do, I thank God for. The good that they passed on to me, my dad passed on to me a genuine love for my children, but I learned through the scriptures not to have the kind of love that he had, which was all sugary. Every now and then you gotta have some pepper, and love must be tough. You cannot allow your children to run all over you and disrespect you and have nasty attitudes and so forth. And so my children got way more butt whippings than I ever got from my dad. In fact, I never got any from my dad, and that is a tragedy. And I love my dad. He was a very loving man, but he loved us too much. My mother was tough as nails, and I thank God for that part of me as well. You got to have that toughness, that tenacity, to get things done in life, particularly when you have opposition. Opposition sometimes in your own family and sometimes with your own friends. If you know that God gave you something in your heart to do, you need to do it. Come hell or high water. My mother gave me that, and she also gave me the mind and the ability and the heart. She passed down to me the ability to edit things and to write things, because she was one of the first women in that little town to start a little publication for the church, and she was the editor of it. And that has passed on to me and to my children. And so you ought to always honor your parents and thank your parents for the good that they did do. Can somebody say amen? And your responsibility now, by the grace of God, I told my children the other day, I ran my leg well. I'm ready to pass on the baton. I improved our family coming up out of slavery and going way back before that, and brought my family up to be far more successful than what I was and what our family was. And it's up to them whether or not they're going to carry the ball forward and take the baton and run with it and make even the next generation better. I cannot do that for them. Be that as it may, Stephen J. Cole writes in his commentary on this passage, "The Duke of Windsor once quipped, 'The thing that impresses me most about America is the way parents obey their children,' which is nothing to be impressed about. It is a tragedy." And I told you yesterday, and I thought about this. I'm glad he said that. I thought about this, I think, just this morning. I think in England I saw someplace a child, a four-year-old child, beating up her mother, pulling her hair, calling her everything but a child of God, four-year-old child, and slapping her mother. And every time her mother tried to say something, she'll slap her and tell her to shut up. And I said to myself, self, if I could just get that little girl for 5 minutes, I'll change her life. She'll never hit her mother again, and she certainly won't hit me. I mean, if any child of mine ever just even raised a hand in that direction, not only towards me or towards their mother, that'd be the last time they ever even raised their hand, if they had a hand to raise. Oh, no, sir. No, sir. No, sir. That won't happen. That will not happen. No. I double dog day to do that. Because I'll call family services for you. I'll call family services for you. Because you have lost your mind. You better go. No. We've never had no mess like that in the White House. No siree. I don't even tolerate talking back. No, sir. I don't tolerate talking back from my wife, much less my children. You say, what? That's exactly right. And you might say, well, preacher, you seem to deal differently with those in authority, that God has placed in authority over those who are supposed to be in subjection. Yes, I do. You know why? Because there is a difference. And that's what this man is saying. We have lost the difference. We got children raising parents. We have children, listen, I hate all abuse. Husband, wife abuse, parent, child abuse, children being abused, is disgusting. But I also hate children abusing their parents and their grandparents. Can somebody say amen to that? Oh, no. No, 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 no. And that's why we have some of this mess going on today. Folks have not been raised right. My Aunt Rebecca raised 5 boys. And if I recollect well, my Aunt Rebecca never walked in fear. Oh, no, sir. Nor did my grandmother, who helped raise those boys. She raised them by herself. They are college graduates and doing well. No, 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 no. Sweet as she could be. Aunt Rebecca, sweet as she could be. My favorite aunt. I love her. And I thank God for her. Sweet as she could be. And I say this respectfully, and very good looking. Tall, model-like woman. Now, let me tell you something. But she did not play. She'd snatch that Wonder Bread banana mayonnaise sandwich out your hand and whip your behind in a heartbeat. Yeah, that's what we ate. Oh, yes. And they ate more of it than I did. Mayonnaise, bananas, Wonder White Bread, buddy. Oh, yes. She'll snatch it out your hand. And we loved it. That's when we didn't have any bologna or anything. And my cousins, all 5 of them, they knew how to take care of themselves. She would snatch it out of your hand and whip your behind. And she would say, can. You know, she was a very decent and upright woman. Oh, yes. If I recollect well, I don't know any of them ever thought about raising their hands to their mother. Are you kidding me? Or to Grandmother Tempe? Are you kidding me? They wouldn't be here. No, sir. No, sirree. We didn't play that. And you got to understand, my grandmother and my Aunt Rebecca, they're decent, sweet, loving, kind people, always had a smile for you, sweet spirit people, but they did not play when it came to that. And hardly anybody played back in the hood, back in the cut. Oh no, on the dirt roads. You better go play, boy, little boy. You know why? Because they would take a switch and whip your behind in a heartbeat and think nothing of it. And they were not concerned about family services coming over to bother you about whipping your child's behind. That's the Bible way. That's what we did. And that generation was probably the last generation that learned that and got that. I believe I'm right about that. And that's why all 5 of those boys are doing well. They're not perfect, but they're doing well in life. They got sense. They have respect for elders. They don't mind saying yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. That's how we were taught. And now what do we have? We have a generation of young people today mad at parents. Really, they don't know why they're mad, but they're mad because they were not raised right, and now they're not able to handle life. He goes on to say, however, the biblical order, especially in Christian homes, is not parents obey your children, but rather children obey your parents. Can somebody say amen? Now, this is why I deal with When I deal with the family verses, I deal with those in authority differently than I deal with those who are supposed to submit to authority. I have to. Because that's what's wrong with our society today, including pastors. Everybody wants to try to make everybody equal and this, and they have their opinion. I don't care what your opinion is, child of mine. I really don't care what your opinion is as my wife if you are talking like Job's wife and you're telling me, curse God and die. I don't want to hear it. You got, if you're that kind of wife, a witch of a wife, I don't want to hear what you got to say. You just do what I tell you to do and we'll be fine. I know you don't like that. I know that's not politically correct. But there is something called authority in our society. And everybody does not have a say in everything. Authority given to all of us by God can make decisions separate from others. Husbands have that authority. Parents have that authority. Governors have that authority. Police officers have that authority from God. Now, do police officers, they're human. Do they mess up sometime? One messed up the other day. I don't care what nobody said. The man was feeling all over this woman, and for a little while there, she acted like she liked it. They acted like they had something going on. Well, that police officer in authority was wrong. He got carried away. He needs to sit down a while. I don't think he needs to be fired, but he needs to sit down for a while and work at the desk. Let him feel that desk for a little while. Let him feel that for a while. Same thing for pastors. They are in authority. Thank God for the pastors. I have a pastor friend. Thank God, and he's a part of a convention. Most independent pastors have been this way for years, but his church gave him authority to help people and help preachers and help ministries, gave him authority to do that. He don't have to go and check with the board. He does not have to go and check with 1,000 different people, the auxiliary, the motherboard, the whiteboard, the blackboard. he just can make the decision as God leads him. And that's how it ought to be. He goes on to say, it would seem as if we've been influenced by worldly psychology that tells us, parents, cater to your child's every whim and don't do anything to stifle their self-esteem or warp their fragile personality. That is so ridiculous. So ridiculous. And now here you got two little devils who are 4 years old, and they're slapping you, and they're cursing you in front of your friends, and you put on that little stupid smile, and say, isn't that so cute? No, it's not cute. Your child is going to hell, and you're probably going to hell. And you're going through hell, and you're going through hell right now because you're embarrassed. You can't even take your children to the groceries, or you got to hire a nanny to hold on to your children so you can go to the grocery store in peace. My children went everywhere with us. When we had to go visit churches, we would sit in the congregation. And little children, and they sat still, and they heard listen to the preaching, and they didn't make a sound. We didn't play that. Some people got mad at us because we wouldn't put our children, dump our children in the nursery. They're so used to people dumping their children in the nursery to serve as a babysitter. And I didn't want my children back there with a terrorist, mean and hateful children slapping my child and all this kind of mess like that. No, running around, hurting themselves. No. Everywhere we went, our children went with us. And I had some well-meaning people say, you ought to give your wife a break. Give her a 2-week break. We'll keep the children. Hire somebody to keep the children for her. I said, break from what? We had great-great-grandmothers who never took a break from their children. They carried the children on their back into the cotton fields. What are you talking about, a break? A break from your children, your own children? That's ridiculous. No, yeah, she's not getting a break. I caught her one time. She's going to hear, yeah, I need a break. Yeah. No, you don't. You don't need a break. You're going to love these children and care for your own children. Some folks don't never take a break from their dog. They take their dog on vacation and leave the children at home. Are you kidding me? They don't take a break from the dog. They can't trust anybody with their dog, but they'll take the dog on vacation. Don't tell me they don't. I met a dear couple the other day. They had the dog with them going on the plane, going on vacation. And we got parents who love their dogs more than they love their children. They don't take a break from their dog, but they take a break from their children. Are you kidding me? We have lost our minds. Then he goes on to say, we're afraid to say, I'm your parent. I'm not. And yes, my wife is. My wife is afraid of our children. She got afraid of us as they were growing up. She couldn't believe it. Some of them growing up past her. She was afraid. And one of the reasons why she was afraid is because she did not help me raise them as she should have. See, if you raise your children right, and they see that you're not afraid of them, then you won't be afraid of them. Because there's no reason to be afraid of your children. I don't care how old they get, how tall they are. My son, Daniel White IV, is taller than I am, naturally. Until I put my shoes on, then I'm taller than he is. But I'm not afraid of my son or anybody else. He's grown. My daughter's grown. I ain't afraid of nobody. And when you can't obey me in my house, you got to go. You's got to go in a hurry. Zip, bam, boom, and in a hurry. And I still love you, I will never sin against you by not praying for you. There's a difference between parents and children, as it should be. God holds me accountable. He says, for your spiritual well-being, I am your parent. I've encountered numerous situations where teens from Christian homes have rebelled, sometimes getting involved in serious sin, and the parents shrug their shoulders helplessly and say, well, they all have to go through a period of rebellion. No, they don't. No, you let them go through a period of rebellion. And they can be disobedient in rebellion. Just make sure you meet them with a rod of correction. You know why I'm a firm believer in chastisement? Because God chastised me as a young Christian. And he changed my life with that chastisement. Do you hear me? But that's a worldly idea, he said. Not a godly one. End of quote. Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this life-altering and life-changing time in family devotions exported to a dying and lost world who needs it desperately, and an anemic church who needs it desperately. And Lord God in heaven, forgive us of our sins as parents, for not being parents, for those who are not parents, trying to be buddy buddies with their friend, with their children. And there's no buddy buddy unless there is obedience. That the buddy buddy thing, the friendship thing, and the advisory, counselly thing can't happen unless there is respect, discipline, and obedience. There cannot be any rebelliousness and stubbornness and pride and foolishness. And so, Lord, forgive us of our sins as parents. Forgive children of their sins as well, of rebelliousness and disobedience. Crucify everybody's flesh who names the name of Christ. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit that we will not walk in the flesh but walk in the Spirit. and be the Christian parents and Christian children that you want us to be. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional Bible passage reading for today is Psalm 118, 26 through 29. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Regarding this passage, Dr. Matthew Henry writes, we will rejoice and be glad in the Lord's day, not only that such a day is appointed, but in the occasion of it, Christ is becoming the head. Sabbath days ought to be rejoicing days, then they are to use as the days, rather, then they are to us as the days of heaven. Amen, somebody. The duty which the Lord has given brings light with it. The duty this privilege calls for is here set forth. The sacrifices we are to offer to God in gratitude for redeeming love are ourselves, not to be slain upon the altar, but living sacrifices, to be bound to the altar. The psalmist praises God and calls upon all about him to give thanks to God for the glad tidings of great joy to all people, that there is a Redeemer, even Christ, the Lord. In him the covenant of grace is made sure and everlasting. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Have it to find a deep lodging place in our hearts and minds, souls, and spirits. Help us to love it and to cherish it and to obey it. And sometimes we may not feel like it is having an impact, but Lord, your holy word not only never comes back void when we share it with others, but the same is true when we share it with ourselves. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in prayer for the estates. You know what the estates are. You know who they are. So let's get right to it. Holy Father God, we pray for the church that you would help us to get on prayer ground, revival ground, by humbling ourselves, by repenting of our sins, by turning from our wicked ways, by praying and seeking your face. Lord God in heaven, we pray for an awakening in this country. We pray for all governmental leaders, and we pray for them based upon your holy word, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And Lord, we pray for President Donald Trump and his administration. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection and provision, blessings upon this administration, and we pray that you'll save the souls of those who are lost in this administration, And we pray that you'll give these people wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and insight to do your will, and help our president and others in this administration who claim to be Christians to act like Christians should. We pray for Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence. We pray for all leaders of federal agencies, including Secretary of the Interior Ryan Zinke, all state governors, including Wyoming Governor Matt Mead, all city mayors, including Norfolk, Virginia Mayor Kenneth Alexander, all members of Congress, including Washington Senator Maria Cantwell, all law enforcement officials, including Fort Wayne, Indiana Police Chief Steve Reed, all military leaders, including Defense Secretary James Mattis / General Vincent K. Brooks, Commander of U.S. Forces in Korea. We pray for leaders of nations around the world, Indonesia's President Joko Widodo, and we pray for Benjamin Netanyahu, a modern-day David who's done a wonderful job, a bang-up job, leading Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we pray for the people, Lord, that your Holy Spirit and your Holy Gospel and your Holy Word would pursue them and not give them rest until they believe on Christ, until they come to know your Savior. And we pray for Christians to get on revival ground so that they can be revived. We also pray, Lord, for the media, the traditional media and the new media, that you would save those who are lost and revive those who are saved and help them all to tell the truth, to restrain themselves from lying and coloring the nation the way they want to color it. Lord, we also pray for current events around the world, not to inform you but to obey you. We pray for the comfort of the families of over 20 people killed in suicide bombings in Afghanistan on Friday. We pray for the standoff at a VA center where 3 have been killed. Comfort those families as well. We pray for continued strength and provisions for those still recovering from last year's hurricanes in Puerto Rico, the Caribbean, Florida, the Gulf region, and Southeast Texas. And we pray for the comfort of the families of the 5 people killed in an apartment building collapse in Poland. And we pray for the recovery of 21 injured. And Lord, we pray for some prayer requests that by name that have come in out of hundreds. We do pray, however, for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provisions, Lord, upon all of the people who have sent in prayer requests to this ministry, all of the people who have gotten saved through this ministry, all of the people who have rededicated their life through this ministry, all people who have emailed in for prayer. Hear and answer their prayers and hear and answer our prayers for them. We pray for Bushibi. Please heal the people who lost loved ones and property because of the flooding. Provide for and bless the pastors and leaders conference. And end, we pray, he wants you to end the famine in Kenya. We also pray for Vicky. Please heal Marion from lymph nodes problems and MRSA infection. We pray for Solomon. Please bless and prosper his church and orphanage in India and bless him with the means to conduct a pastors and leaders conference and gospel crusades. We pray for Simone. Please help her to study well, get good grades and a great education, and make her healthy and prosperous. Please save and protect all children. Strengthen all preachers and ministries to do your will. We pray for Nakia. Please help her out of jail and have the people, keep her out of jail. That's the difference. And have the people working her case to be fair, save and comfort her loved ones as well. We pray for those who have trusted you as Savior through this ministry. Help these to grow in the faith. We pray for Bola. We pray for Penny. And we pray for Evangeline as well. We pray for those who have rededicated their lives to you through this ministry. We pray for Mungasel, Say, and Richard. Help them to stand strong in the faith. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, our devotional reading for today is titled Not Good Enough by Dr. Billy Graham. And Dr. Billy Graham reads with us this passage, Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, which says, I count all things but loss, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. People go through many doors which do not lead to the kingdom of God. Some try the door of good works. They say, I can get to heaven if I only do enough good things, because God will honor all the good things I do. It's wonderful to do good things, but we cannot do enough good things to satisfy God. God demands perfection, and we're not perfect. If we're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, we have to be absolutely perfect. You ask, well, how will I ever be perfect? We need to be clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one door to the kingdom, and it's Jesus Christ. And we will never get to heaven unless we go through him. Amen, somebody. Holy Father God, help us to realize that we're not good enough. Only Jesus Christ is good enough, and he is our Savior. And help us to remember that and be humble about it. And Lord, we pray that you'll speak to the hearts of those who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior yet, and help them to understand that they are not good enough to save themselves, that they must trust in Christ to be saved. We thank you for Brother Billy Graham, who reiterated that there's only one door to heaven, and that is the door of Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. Now, dear friend, have you gone through the door, Jesus Christ, for your salvation? If you're not sure, then you need to be sure and you need to listen. If you have no idea what we're talking about, then you need to listen. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and hell. Pardon me. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Pardon me. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a sad and awful place. And one of the saddest aspects of hell is that you will be there forever. just like those who trust Christ as Savior will be in heaven forever. That's how bad sin is in God's sight. And God cannot allow you to come into his heaven with your wickedness and your evil and your sin. You understand that. And so you must, as Dr. Billy Graham said, have the righteousness of Christ on you. His blood was shed for your sins. You must trust Christ as Savior. Hell is bad news. You don't want to die and go to hell, as many have. But I have some good news for you that you can listen to and get saved from hell today. Uttered by none other than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell forever, "but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart right now in the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation. For Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. And all you have to do is believe in him, believe on him, pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. Now, since you've never prayed a prayer like this, I'll be glad to lead you in this prayer, which is commonly called the Sinner's Prayer. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Join me in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner, and I admit that I have sinned against you by breaking your commandments. Some of the commandments that I have broken are stealing, dishonoring my parents, lust of people and things, and lying. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, was buried, and rose again, I receive him into my heart, and I believe his gospel, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe in you, Lord Jesus, that you died for me, was buried, and rose again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent. Help me to turn from my old evil ways and help me to follow you into the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell, and you're on your way to heaven. That's based upon the Word of God, the Bible, not how we feel, not what we think, for our feelings will come and go. So welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Just like you said he would.